Now, the next principle is that many prophecies are given for a specific time and situation. And until we come to that time and situation, we will not be able to understand the prophecy. So in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 3 through 7, we have a specific prophecy concerning the restoration of Israel to their own land. And let me say, my observation is most of the prophecies of the end time assume the presence of Israel as a nation in their own land. In other words, they could not be fulfilled until the state of Israel was restored. This is the prophecy. And let me say that a dear brother in the Lord, whom I respect, some good many years ago made a statement. He said the restoration of the state of Israel could not be from God, because if it were from God, it would have produced peace. I have to say, he could not have said that if he'd been familiar with prophecy, because prophecy says exactly the opposite. These are the words. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity or from exile my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, anybody who has a small acquaintance with the Bible knows where the land is that God gave to the fathers of Israel. There's only one land that answers to that description. It's a little strip of territory at the east end of the Mediterranean. Then we go on. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Notice that, not of peace. Ask now and see whether a male is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every male with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So far from predicting peace when Israel are restored to their territory, the Bible warns us there will be a time of tribulation and anguish without parallel in Jewish history. And when you consider Jewish history, that's a startling statement. And concerning it, the Lord says, not he will be saved from it, but he will be saved out of it. And that applies to a lot of other situations in our lives. God doesn't always save us from things, but he saves us out of things. He lets us get into them, and then he saves us out of them. And then at the end of that chapter, there's the little sort of PS, the last verse, verse 24. In the latter days, you will consider it. In other words, you really won't have any use for this prophecy until the time of the end. In fact, it won't have much meaning for you. But I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, it is exceedingly meaningful today, because we live in Jerusalem and we see it all happening in front of our eyes. So remember, there are a lot of prophecies that you won't understand until the appropriate moment. And then one main purpose of biblical prophecy is to guide us in what we do and what we don't do. It becomes directive. And people who don't know biblical prophecy are liable to be praying and trying to do things which will never come to pass, because God has said they will never happen. And if God has said something will never happen, it's a waste of time to pray that it will happen or to try to make it happen. Now, I'll give you a little example from Matthew 24, and we'll be returning to Matthew 24 in the next two sessions. Let me say this in case I forget to say it then. If you want to receive as much as possible from my next two sessions, read Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. And when you've read them again, because we're going to deal with them in detail, verse by verse. But I'm just preempting that by going to two verses that apply to the situation after the Jews have been returned to their land. It says in Matthew 24:19-20. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those with nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. So you would be inclined in that situation to say, God, let us have to flee. God says that's a useless prayer. You're going to have to flee. Pray within those parameters. Pray that though you may have to flee, It will not be in winter. Why? Because it will be very tough in winter, especially for pregnant women or women with nursing babies. And pray that it may not be on the Sabbath. Now, why would you pray that it may not be on the Sabbath? That has no meaning at all unless there's a Jewish state. Because I lived in that country, which was then called Palestine, while it was still under the British mandate. And the Sabbath was no different from any other day. But under a Jewish state, in the area of Jerusalem, no one has public transportation on the Sabbath. Majority of people don't travel anywhere. So a large group of people fleeing on the Sabbath day would become extremely conspicuous. So Jesus says, you're going to have to flee. Don't pray we won't have to flee. But pray that you won't have to flee in winter or on the Sabbath day. Now that's an example of many prophetic scriptures which tell us what is going to happen. And if God says it's going to happen, it is a waste of time to pray that it won't happen. It's a waste of time to try and work it out so that it won't happen. What you can do is pray within the parameters of revealed prophecy. So that's number 3. Now number 4, to avoid wrong prayer or action.